Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz ACC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, week number 8 provides great action. 4 games we're going to recap on today's show. But I want to take a look at the big picture in regards to the conference. 4 teams now undefeated, led by Clemson at 4-0, followed by the Miami Hurricanes. The ACC is playing some football in 2024.
Well, yeah, I think they accomplished a little bit what they wanted to accomplish. They added to their conference, and here we are halfway through the season, basically, and 10 teams with no or one loss only. I don't think a lot of those teams have a chance, but their fans do. It makes it more exciting that they think they're still in the hunt, because so often they're not. But we're talking about really being in the hunt. You got to talk Miami and Clemson. That's really – they look like the guys that have stepped up. And the question is now, is Clemson getting closer to where they used to be, and is Miami playing close to giving one away?
Yeah, they are, right? When you think about the Miami Hurricanes back-to-back close games against Virginia Tech and California, and when you look at, obviously, Clemson, they've won now 5 straight games, have dominated at home, have only lost 3 games dating back since 2015 in regards to Death Valley. So Dabo and that offense are clicking on all cylinders. They get the victory, a road win over Wake Forest as a 21.5-point road favorite. They win that ball game 49-17. Coach, when you think about that performance as well, Cade Klubnik, we brought him up in last week's show. He's got 17 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, completing 65% of his passes. Depending upon how Clemson plays the second half of the regular season, we know about Cam Ward. We know about Ashton Genty from Boise State and some of the front runners for the Heisman Trophy, including Quinn Ewers and even Jalen Milroe. Can Cade Klubnik potentially get his name in the mix should Clemson win out the rest of the way?
I think there's a formula for a quarterback to be in the running for the Heisman. One, you got to have great numbers. You got to have great numbers like last year. Or if you have a great season, undefeated season, and really good numbers, you're a leader of the team. I think both of those are factors that come into play. So Cade Klubnik, if he can keep on winning and get them in the hunt, Cade Klubnik can have a chance, I think, to be in the Heisman race. It's going to work its way to the very end of the season because they've got to come through. And remember, they don't play Miami during the season, so everybody in America is going to watch Cam Ward play against Klubnik in the conference championship if it goes like we think it's going to go.
Now, Wake Forest has lost to Clemson 16 straight times, but when you look at the breakdown, and I said it was 49-17, it was 49-14. The fact that they were able to win that matchup by 35 points, the last 2 games were decided by a total of 11 to extend their margin of victory in regards to this matchup. That was a dominant road win, and now they come back home in Death Valley to face their former offensive coordinator, Tony Elliott.
That's right. Well, you know, I think the one thing, you know, Wake Forest plays a unique style of offense. You've seen it. They hang on to the handoff real long time and run the RPO late. They do things that if you stay in the conference long enough everybody is going to start working in, to defend that style. And I think Wake Forest, Dave Clausen, who is one big, he may be staying too long at Wake Forest, or he's staying too long with the same offense, because I think a team like Clemson can begin to study it and figure it out. And after a while, you've got to adjust because you're playing the same teams in your conference. And on the other end, Clemson just keeps getting better and better and better. And, you know, as this season goes on, I keep thinking how long Dabo Swinney has been at Clemson, how much of a veteran coach he is, and how much he understands what you got to do. And I think he's excited about, hey, y'all, I can win with no portal transfers, guys. You go take him. I'm going to protect my culture, and I'm going to show y'all how to win without touching the portal. Whether he does it, you know what? I bet you a lot of coaches are pulling for him, because I can take NILs. The portal transfer thing is hard for a coach to take.
Especially when you think about the week one loss to Georgia. August 31st is a long time in the rear view mirror. This team has really transformed themselves offensively and defensively, and that's why they do have four wins in the ACC, trying to pick up their fifth. We'll break it down in next segment. Another team coach that was on a bye week, but we really haven't talked about, and they're a new member in the conference, is the SMU Mustangs, right? They're 5-1 overall. Their only loss happens to be at home to BYU, who, oh, by the way, is undefeated, picked up another dominant home win over the Arizona Wildcats as basically a 3.5-point home favorite. That's a pretty good resume for SMU. I know we talk about Miami. I know we talk about Clemson, and rightfully so. But SMU potentially could steal the thunder if they win out, win a conference championship, and maybe crack the college football playoff.
Yeah, you know, SMU's been slowly climbing back into the picture. Remember back when they had Craig James and they had the great running backs and they were in the hunt always for national exposure for a great team. They've kind of wanted to get back there, and they've got the money in the back of their program. That's a very wealthy spoon when it comes to facilities and NIL. And now they play as one of the fastest offenses in the country. I'm talking about fast between first down, second down, then wait and decide on third. They can run more plays. And they're a dynamic team playing an exciting offense, and they've only got one loss to an undefeated team. So I think we got to wait and see a little bit with them in this conference too.
Yeah, how about Georgia Tech too? Rebounding, they had a couple of losses in the middle part of the season early on after they knocked off Florida State overseas in Ireland, and now they're 5-2. They get a victory over North Carolina, high scoring, 41-34, but they have a signal caller in Haynes King and a high-powered, balanced offense. Potentially, they could get back in the mix along with Syracuse. All Syracuse and Fran Brown do is win football games. They grind out another road win over NC State. These are two teams that are potentially on the cusp of greatness in the conference.
Well, you know, I think people like to talk about the front runner teams, but people like us who really study the game and watch them, there are a lot of these teams, like whether they be like Georgia Tech or Texas A&M, or teams that are just on the verge of taking back, get to the top half of their conference, or competing for a conference championship, or to get into that playoff, which has got everybody excited playing well. And I think Georgia Tech is one of those teams. Now, they've got a hurt quarterback. We got to wonder if he's going to play or not, because I think without Haynes King, they're a different football team. We'll find out this weekend.
How about Pittsburgh and Eli Holstein, right? They get the win, but no cover over Cal. But they're 6-0 for the first time since Dan Marino in 1982. Big picture, can Pat Narduzzi and the Pitt Panthers challenge the likes of Clemson and Miami, respectively?
Well, you know, I said this last week. I'm an old Mountaineer, and I had a lot of backyard brawls with Pittsburgh. But that I kind of pulled for the old neighborhood, you know, because that's not far off. And I was a graduate assistant at Florida State when we played Dan Marino in Pittsburgh in 1982. I was down and watched that happen. They have found a way to win. When you go out to the West Coast, you've got the time limit, you got the time change, the jet lag, and you beat a Cal team that's pretty dead good. They came in and beat Auburn. They came in and played heck of a good game against Miami. They go down there and lose by a field goal. So they did a great job to win that game when a lot of people thought maybe Cal could beat them on that one. So I'm kind of pulling for Pitt to keep on going, because they have had some down years, down year last year where they won three, but they were in the conference championship a couple of years ago.
And when you look at Holstein and his performance, he struggled a little bit on Saturday at home, but overall he's been an added addition for that offense. Pat Narduzzi now has his potential quarterback of the future. Will he stay or will he go, though, Coach? That's the biggest question.
I just don't know. NIL has changed that because he really, you mentioned Dan Marino. They would never have had success they had back in 82 without a Dan Marino. I don't know if they can have the success they have without this quarterback, who I think very well may be the ACC Rookie of the Year with the way he's playing. But everybody else, the one thing about what we know now that we've been with the NIL, and I know if you've got a good player, there are already people looking at him.
Absolutely. Eli Holstein, a potential Heisman.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com. Upwork.com.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Dark horse as well. Virginia and Louisville squared off. That was a very close game. Louisville prevails 24-20. Jeff Brohm and the Louisville Cardinals do square off in a marquee top 25 game against Cam Ward in Miami. When Coach and I return, we'll talk about that game in Louisville. Hurricanes and Cardinals. Also, Tony Elliott and Virginia taking on Clemson. We'll be right back. Keep it where it is on the Bowden Blitz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz ACC edition, Coach Bowden and I are going to dive right into the two marquee battles within the conference. Let's start in Louisville. You got the Miami Hurricanes as opens as a 4.5-point road favorite over Jeff Brohm in Louisville. Louisville did get the victory over Tony Elliott and Virginia in Charlottesville, 24-20. Louisville struggled for much of the first half, trailed that matchup, found a way to pull it out. But, Coach, if there was ever a team in need of a bye week, how to be the Hurricanes off their last 2 weeks' performances?
Yeah, I'll tell you that the Hurricanes, really, they've got a tough one right here with Louisville. And, again, how they're going to be ready to play with the off week. Sometimes when you're winning ball games, you want to come out and play real quick. You don't want to be off for a week because things can settle down. You can lose that little edge that you have. But I have picked this out, Louisville, as being a team that Miami had to beat from the very beginning. And Miami's lost some close games. But they're still a very good football team with a very good quarterback and head coach. And if you're not ready to play, they can get you. The problem with me is Miami. I just don't know what team's going to show up. They come out of the locker room at the beginning of a game, and they're not fired. They make mistakes. The judgment's not as good. They get behind, and then Cam Ward just pulls it out for him. And Cam Ward's a little bit of that problem. Anything he does, it's poor judgment. It's usually right when he comes out of the locker. They need to play 4 quarters because one of these times they're going to lose this game. And a team like Louisville can take it in the end instead of losing it to Miami.
I agree. I will say this. I think when I look at this matchup overall, I like Miami in regards to this spot. I'm going to lay the 4.5 points with the Hurricanes. I think this is a get-right spot. I do feel that they bounce back in regards to the last two games against Virginia Tech and on the road in California. The ability to reset, I think, will benefit the Hurricanes. I do want to look at their offense just briefly, Coach, because they're putting up 583 total yards of offense on opposing defenses. Cam Ward is completing well over 60% of his passes. They're averaging 400 yards through the air, 183 yards on the ground. But the most impressive statistic for me, 60% third down offense. That's the number one third down offense in the nation. They're going to need to bring that on the road. But why do you feel the success? Is it just Cam Ward, or is it the more of the offensive play calling for the Hurricanes this year?
Well, I mean, Cam Ward, I mean, it's always, to me, the bottom line is always, how good is your quarterback? You know, we mentioned Pittsburgh way back with Dan Marino. How good is your quarterback? This quarterback is phenomenal. And don't get me wrong, I said Louisville would play him close, but I'm with you. I think Miami will cover and win this football game. But really, they had the reason they're so good on third and long is because they do so well on first and second, and they back those people up. And when you're a great thrower and you can throw deep, nobody throws the vertical passing game better than Cam Ward. And if you do that, your third down intermediate routes and your short routes are more open. But he is so very accurate. I just don't see many things he can't do.
Would you, in a road type of situation, knowing that you have the better quarterback, Damian Martinez has been a nice addition, but he hasn't been the explosive back that Miami thought that they were getting when he transferred in from Oregon State. He was a 1,000-yard rusher last year, averaged well over 5 yards per carry. This year, 292 rushing yards on the ground, only 6 touchdowns. Is this an opportunity potentially for maybe the rushing attack to take some pressure off of Cam Ward in this matchup?
Well, it'd be good to be rushing with a back that can make some big plays. I'm a little bit surprised, like you are, that he's not making more yards or having bigger plays. He's kind of a bullish, heavy, bigger guy like Phil Maffa at Clemson. They tend to run over safeties. And I've always said, if you're a great back, you can make that safety miss, because even if you run him over, the rest of the pursuit's going to get you and tackle you. You got to make him miss. But they need some bigger plays out of their running game down the road, because they are throwing it a lot of football times. And although, again, Cam Ward's great, but you put a running attack with that, then he throws when he wants to, not when he has to.
I think if for Louisville to be competitive in this game, it's got to resemble last week's performance against Virginia. And I'm not suggesting Miami is Virginia's offense. I just don't know if Louisville is as explosive this year as they were last year, with former quarterback Jack Plummer. They're averaging 291 passing yards per game, averaging around 37 points per game, but they're more methodical. The game that they did force tempo was SMU, and SMU wound up stealing that game 34-27. I think in order for Louisville to win, lower scoring, run the football, sustain drives to keep Cam Ward on the sidelines.
Well, I think so, too. I think, one, you've got to come out fast and come out. You don't want to play from behind with Miami. You want to play from the lead. The one thing you got to do, though, you got to be careful of taking your foot off the pedal. I don't think you can ever get a big enough lead that they can't come back and get you. So whether you're leading with a run and following with a pass, or leading with a pass and follow with a run, keep your foot on the pedal and keep pressuring and keep playing like you're behind. Don't play like you're ahead, because Cam Ward can bring them back no matter how far down they are. And I think Louisville's got enough talent. They've got enough smarts in a head coach and a quarterback that if they can get ahead and keep the ball gunning, just like I thought Vanderbilt did against Alabama, you know, they kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, never gave them a chance to come back. That's what you almost have to do against Miami, is just always play like you're behind.
That game is a 12 noon start in Louisville. Coach and I both like the Hurricanes to win and cover the number. Let's turn our attention to the matchup in Death Valley. We mentioned Virginia, now 4-2 on the road to square off against the Clemson Tigers. Clemson has won 5 straight games by an average margin of victory of 27.2 points per game. They have the better quarterback, but Tony Elliott comes home, Coach. How do you see this game playing out early on?
Well, he'll know how Dabo thinks. He'll know philosophically because I was there 2 years as an analyst, and I worked mostly with Tony Elliott, and I watched him and Dabo because Dabo's an offensive guy. He stays close to those offensive coaches, and I think they're very close. So Tony will know a lot about what Clemson does. Now, the athletes, most of those were not there when Tony coached there, so everyone will be a little bit different. But they had a special relationship, and the biggest thing I think of is if Clemson can get ahead – How far will Dabo go to beat Tony? Because he's like a mentor to the man. If you know Tony Elliott, you got to love him. He's one of the finest people you'll ever meet and an outstanding football coach.
And that's important, Coach, because they're late 21.5 points. That's important because Clemson has won three straight home games in Death Valley by an average margin of victory of 32 points per game. If they get up early, could the back door be open for the Virginia Cavaliers when Coach and I...
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by Sheen.
Return. We'll talk about more in depth Clemson and Virginia, also Notre Dame and Georgia Tech, right here on the Fountain Blitz. Here it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Continuing the conversation of Clemson and Virginia on the Bowden Blitz. Coach, we left off talking about how dominant Clemson has been over the last 5 weeks. I mentioned it, but not just in regards to the last 5 weeks. They're a dominant home team. They only have three straight-up home losses dating back to 2015. But you look at Virginia, 4-2. Two of those wins did come on the road. What is Virginia going to have to do from an offensive perspective to potentially challenge Clemson in this matchup?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to score with Clemson to some extent. Stay close. You know, try to stay on the field. I'm with that. Let's run the ball some. Let's try to keep the ball in our hands. Keep Clemson's offense off the field as much as possible and try to keep this game close. Anytime you're playing a team that's that much, and they are that much better, when they're playing that much better, if you can stay close at halftime, that actually demoralizes the team, and they get a chewing out at halftime, and sometimes they respond, sometimes they don't. And it really encourages your own players. So you got to try to play it, keep the ball in control, try to get to that halftime game within 10 points or so. And then the underdog, like Virginia, can feels like they have a chance.
Well, I sort of like Virginia in the matchup 21.5 because you mentioned it when Dabo, knowing Tony so well, that if he does get up early, maybe he calls off the dogs, maybe more second and third teamers in the second half of that matchup. You talk about the last three games for Clemson at home. They dominated Appalachian State, got the winning cover, got the winning cover against NC State, and got the winning cover against Stanford at home. This could potentially be a different type of situation. Again, I think lower scoring would favor Virginia. Higher scoring has to favor Clemson and Cade Klubnik.
You know, I think, you know what, if Clemson gets ahead and is comfortably ahead and Virginia's offense is doing nothing, I can actually see Dabo not rubbing it in. I know he would not scoring too much. And you want to score as often as you can, but I can see him not wanting to hurt the situation with Tony Elliott. And now I don't know that actually happened, but I just know the type of man that Dabo is and the type of coach that Elliott is. And I've seen a lot of coaches that'll take a knee on the 3-yard line going in, and I've seen a lot of coaches that'll put one more score on the board just because they want more points. That's what you would not see in this game.
And the, another factor why I might like Virginia to coach is they're playing with house money. Nobody's expecting them to win this matchup. 4-2 overall, the overall perception and goal has to be not a 9-win football team. Get to 6 wins, become bowl eligible, because they haven't been bowl eligible since the days of Bronco Mendenhall. So maybe early on they could take some chances to be within the numbers. So we'll see how that game plays out. Coach and I both lean to Virginia in this matchup. Let's take a look at Notre Dame on the road against Georgia Tech. In the series, Notre Dame has won 3 straight. Notre Dame dominated Stanford 49-7. They held Stanford to only 87 passing yards in that game. Coach, an 11.5-point number. I'm going to take the points with Georgia Tech at home.
You know, the thing about Georgia Tech, you know, Haynes King is hurt. He's injured, and they're saying they're keeping it close to the vest. I don't think the number gets – I think the Notre Dame's okay to cover if he doesn't play. If he plays, I think they're another one of those teams, you know, that I think are really a lot better than people think and can get – they're, what, 4-2? They've lost only 2 games this year.
5-2.
And they have an outstanding football team. And so if Haynes King can play in the game, and if he's full go, if he tries to play in his half, I lean towards Notre Dame piling up a little bit more than that. If he can't go at all, I lean to Notre Dame. But if he's healthy enough to play and play his game the way he can run that football and keep their offense going, I would go with the under.
We saw last week.
The
under. I just want to talk about Riley Leonard quickly. 229 yards last week, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. That was a Stanford defense giving up about 270, 280 heading into that matchup. They're going to need Riley Leonard to maybe duplicate that, not just in terms of this game against G-Tech, but moving forward, because that defense has been rock solid, has allowed less than 1,000-yard passing on the season to opposing offenses.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame really has had other than that early terrible situation they had with Northern Illinois, the more they distance themselves from that game and the more they dominate teams, I think the more they're looking forward to maybe a college football playoff. And I think their players know that. They know what happened that day, the second game of the season. And each week they have a chance to come out there and beat the team and also make up for what happened back then. So they'll play great football. They play great defense. They've got to have Riley Leonard's got to be able to run the football because he's got about 7 or 8 rushing touchdowns, and they've got to get that into the game. But I tell you, when they're playing for a chance to be in the college football playoff, and they're right there at the edge where they're ranked right now.
We'll see. It's a 3:30 kick. Coach and I are going to be back next week. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week on the Ballard Blitz.